Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in, hour number two, Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. Lots of football to discuss today. Seahawks, Packers, Texans, Chiefs. I'm excited for the Sunday of the divisional round, Abdallah. But yesterday, what we saw, it seems like it always takes time for the new innovation or the gimmick in sports to actually catch on. And I'm wondering if what we saw yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens and their MVP quarterback, the dual threat quarterback, I'm wondering if that's really just the fancy gimmick or a true innovation to change the game. You know, like we've been hearing about innovations in life when it comes to the flying car, robot maids, living on Mars. Like we've been hearing about that stuff since the 60s.
We're not going to Mars.
But none of that stuff has taken place yet to this point, right? And to me, that's the same thing with the running dual threat quarterback. We keep saying the future is here with the running dual threat quarterbacks, but each time when they get to the playoffs, they lose. Mm-hmm. Each and every time. We do this every time with every dual threat quarterback. Mm-hmm. We get to a point where we say, we anoint them. This is the future. Lamar Jackson is the future. He's the MVP of the league. This is what every team should be looking for when they draft, when they're in free agency, when they build their football program going forward. To me, the dual threat quarterback is the same thing as the flying car, the robot maids, you know, from the Jetsons or cities on Mars. We're going to have infrastructure on Mars. We will be living in bubbles. It will be like Total Recall, but instead of it breaking and us all dying, we stay there and we live and everything's great. Except the dual threat quarterback gets to the playoffs and every single time he loses. And that's why I'm wondering if, even though Lamar Jackson took the league by storm, brought excitement to the league, and is going to win the MVP, it doesn't really matter, because all that matters in the playoffs is a quarterback who can make great decisions and a team that runs the football, because that's what we saw yesterday.
I feel like we're closer to living underground than we are to living on Mars, but that's neither here nor there.
What about at the bottom of the sea?
I don't know if we could. I don't know if we have the infrastructure. I don't want to know what's at the bottom of the sea. You know how deep the ocean is, man? There's some stuff down there we don't even know about.
You see that new movie that's coming out where they do go to the depths of the sea?
No, thank you.
Yeah, and it's like Alien. It's like the remake of Alien, but it's not Alien.
No, thank you. Yeah, okay. Let me give you some. If you, Jackson's going to win the MVP, right? Lamar Jackson was the most valuable player this season. He was the best player in football this season. But to some of his stats, he was the third different player in NFL history to record at least 35 touchdown passes and 5 rushing touchdowns with Steve Young and Cam Newton. Okay, he threw a touchdown on 9% of his passing attempts, the second highest percent of pass attempts ending in a touchdown in NFL history after 2004 with Peyton Manning. He joined Roethlisberger as the only players in NFL history to produce multiple games in a season with a perfect passer rating. Perfect passer rating. He had 8 games with 3 or more touchdowns, the most by a player before his 23rd birthday. He had 3 games with 5 or more touchdowns, the youngest player with multiple games with 5 touchdown passes in NFL history, and he had 3 games this season with a 99 total QBR, the most in a season by a starting quarterback since ESPN began tracking the stat. Okay, he had a phenomenal, phenomenal season, and we talked all season about how a team is going to stop him. Is there a team out there that can stop him? Well, the Titans had the game plan. The Titans had the perfect game plan. Don't rush, guys. Only rush 4, and sometimes don't even rush 4. Rush less than 4. Rush 3, rush 4, and your safeties and your corners have to be perfect. They have to play for perfect football, because as soon as Lamar Jackson tries to run, and he got some great runs off, he had some great throws, but ultimately it was a lot of it in garbage time. You need to capitalize off of turnovers. You needed to limit him, and you needed to have a defense that was strong enough. And if they got a lead, if you got out to a lead early, they were going to be able to do whatever they wanted scheme-wise and stop him. And that's exactly what they did. Did he have a bad game? Yes, he had a bad game. Did the Titans have the perfect game plan to stop him? Yes, they had the perfect game plan to stop him. Does it mean he's not the MVP and we're not going to see greatness from Lamar Jackson for the rest of his career, for the foreseeable future? No, it doesn't mean any of those things are true. Both things can be true. He can be an MVP and he can have a bad playoff game. Yeah, it happens.
Absolutely. And I don't disagree with that. The only thing I'm pointing to is, like, I feel like we always do this. We point to that guy as being the next and the future of the game. Mm-hmm. But really, the future of the game is the same boring story we've always known. Run the football and play great defense.
Yep.
The style of that doesn't go out of style. Let's hear from Lamar Jackson, who talked about not having a playoff win last night.
I don't really care about what they say. You know, this is my second year in the league. Many people don't be able to make it to the playoffs. I got a great team with me. We ain't really worried about what the people saying. We just going to keep going. Like I said, get ready for next year.
Lamar Jackson on what went wrong last night.
We just beat ourselves. You know, we had a lot of, I had a lot of mistakes on my behalf. Three turnovers. That shouldn't happen. But, you know, they came out to play. You know, we just started off slow. You just got to do better next time. But moving forward, get ready for this offseason. Get ready for next year.
John Harbaugh on Lamar's performance for the Ravens last night.
I think Lamar played with heart and guts and courage and competed like he always does, you know, and that's what you ask for. I mean, he laid it all out there, just like all our guys did, you know. As a coach, that's what you hope for. Everything else you work on, you know, but that's who he is. That's who all of our guys are. I'm proud of him. And that's it.
After the game, John Harbaugh on how Lamar bounces back after the loss last night.
I won't have to say much to him. We'll talk, I'm sure, and tomorrow, and we'll see where that conversation goes. Just from a, you know, two people talking, but I know how he's going to respond. You know, he's gonna respond by being extremely motivated and determined to improve as a football player. And I think the strides he made between last year and this year are pretty indicative of that. And we expect him to continue to get better, you know, and that's what he should do. I mean, it's simple, him and everybody else. You know, that's what we all should strive to do. And I just know his character and who he is as a person. That's what he'll be thinking about.
And that's the key from John Harbaugh there is getting better, right? What we saw from Lamar Jackson in the loss last season in the playoffs and what he did in the offseason to improve himself to then become an MVP candidate, you can only assume that in this offseason he may not take that same jump in becoming even better than what he was, but you got to know that this guy is going to try and do everything he can to improve himself. And that's why, you know, you ask the question, is it really a fancy gimmick or is it just the innovation that we're waiting to change the game? I'm not sure if it's either. He's just a good football player that was beaten by a better team yesterday. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Adam, a couple minutes ago, a team that had a better strategy. And certainly in a one-game situation, which the NFL playoffs are all about, if you have the better coaching staff and the better strategy, you can win these games in advance. And we've seen it 2 weeks in a row now from the Tennessee Titans.
Well, because if you look at the other game and you look at Jimmy Garoppolo and what the 49ers did with him, he's not the gimmicky quarterback. He's not the running type of quarterback. He can run, sure, but he's the pocket passer. He's the mobile when he needs to be and make something happen. And as soon as he threw that interception, you know, Kyle Shanahan said, no, you are not. He threw a couple almost interceptions, dropped interceptions. Then he threw an interception, and Kyle Shanahan said, you're not ruining this game for me. I'm taking the ball out of your hand, and we're going to run 30 times. After he threw that interception, 30 out of 32 design runs. So Kyle Shanahan made the adjustment and said, look, you're not having a good game. We're going to adjust. I don't know if Harbaugh made that adjustment yesterday, but Kyle Shanahan was able to alter his game plan. The Titans had the better game plan. I think what you need, Chris, is when you look at like the game today between Mahomes and Watson, you need like the right mix. Do we have hoverboards from Back to the Future Part 2 yet? No, we don't. We have like a weird thing that you stand on and like you kind of push your body weight forward and it's got wheels and sometimes it blows up. Like we have one of those things.
Are you talking about the Segways?
No, not the Segway, because you don't need the handle for these. These are the hoverboards.
Okay.
They're called hoverboards.
Because we have Segways, which we didn't ask for. Like in the 60s and 70s and all the futuristic ideas, no one said, let's have a two-wheeled item that has a pole coming up that you can hold on to and ride around the city.
You don't need a pole for this one. You just ride this one around, but ultimately if they blow up because they're faulty and they're made poorly. But ultimately,
you can't fly with them.
No, you can't fly with them. No, you can't skateboard on air with them like I saw in Back to the Future Part 2 and I was promised.
Correct.
And you don't have that yet.
Right.
We have like a weird hybrid of that, which is what I think you have.
Innovation takes time.
Exactly, which is what you see in like good quarterbacks that have made it farther that can do both. Watson, Mahomes, guys that can be mobile. Watson, very mobile when he wants to be, but can also be a pocket passer. Lamar Jackson isn't a fluke. He's a very good quarterback. The Ravens did a great job selecting him where they did, not overdrafting him, and altering what they do on offense to tailor to his strengths. They made a great season game plan. Now, you found a team in yesterday that made a single game plan to stop him. And that's what they did, and that's what the Titans were able to do. They found a way to stop innovation. They found a way to halt it right in its tracks, and they did a great job of it. And now they're moving on to the AFC Championship game.
Adam Abdallah, Chris Black here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app to talk football with you at 312-332-3776. If you're a Bears fan, an NFL fan, you watched the games yesterday. Looking ahead at the games today, was there anything you learned to this point in the playoffs that you want the Bears to take and implement for their team? You can call us at 312-332-3776. The one thing that I took away from the 49ers game, clearly, is the fact that they had dedication to the run game. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday talking about the run game for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. Just, we had one drive where we literally didn't pass the ball, came off to the sideline, and, I mean, it was as excited as we've ever been offensively. And it was just, when you can do that to a team, it makes it tough on defenses when they have to, you know, bring more guys into the box, start bringing safeties down. We ran the hell out of the ball, and those guys up front battled their ass off today. It was fun.
Here's Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, on the dedication to the run game for the 49ers.
We didn't start it out that way. It's just, you don't start it out before it saying, hey, we're going to run it every down. You call a run to start out, and you just stick with it, and eventually we scored, and half of us were asking where the throws were on it, and we've looked back at the pictures, realized that we didn't throw any. So it was just a hell of a job by the O-line coming off the ball, getting some push. When you can do that, you wear the guys down and force them to change some of their coverages a little bit. And then our defense kept getting us the ball back. And same with the special teams. You know, that long punt that they had, that we had, and Raheem being able to come down there, cause that fumble, that was huge too. And just a great overall win for the whole team.
So that's Kyle Shanahan after the game. The 49ers going to the NFC Championship game.
Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo,
yep.
Threw the ball a combined 33 times. 33 times. And they ran the ball. The 49ers ran it 47 times. The Titans ran the ball 37 times. When you take the game plan away from your quarterback, like the way the Titans have the last two playoff games. I know Ryan Tannehill has had great games. He's had over 300-yard games. He's had phenomenal completion percentage games. He's had great games. But yesterday, he had a 50% completion percentage. He was 7 of 14. That's not hard to do math. 7. It's 50%. He had 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. Did he make great throws on those touchdown passes? Yes, he threw absolute dimes on those touchdown passes. Those are great. But ultimately, they took the ball out of his hand and they ran the ball. Derrick Henry, 30 carries, 195 yards. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry. That is how you win football games. You look at the 49ers. They ran the ball 47 yards. Tevin Coleman, 22 carries, 105 yards. Did they stop? No. What was the plan? Play it again. I did it last hour. I'll do it again this hour. Play it again for the people in the back. Turn up your radio. Go outside like it's Say Anything. Hold up your radio so the entire street can hear what an offensive game plan and adjusting your game plan sounds like for every fan in Chicago. Play it again. Play that Kyle Shanahan for me.
John Cusack in the back. Here you go.
We didn't start it out that way. It's just, you don't start it out before it saying, hey, we're going to run it every down. You call a run to start out and you just stick with it. And
you just
eventually
stick with
scored
it.
And
stick with the run. Stick with the run. I made a joke. Do you think that Matt Nagy ran the ball 47 times before the bye?
I know he did. We need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
He ran the ball 7 times in one game. Insane.
Yeah, it is insane. And that's why being a Bears fan today, it's frustrating because I think we all look at this team. They're 8-8. Last year they went 12-4. They have the pieces to be a playoff team. But for some reason, it didn't come together, whether it be the coaching, the quarterback, the defense taking a step back, even though I don't think that that's really much of a story. I think the defense is still
the
legit.
The defense didn't take a step back. They were a historic defense last year. It's crazy.
But listen, if you change some of the things about your team and maybe just the strategy to your team, then you could possibly get to the playoffs next season.
I'm totally with you.
Like, it's not the fact that the team can't run the ball. They just chose not to run the ball. That's something that we have documented here because of the rushing attempts per game. 24th in the National Football League. That's saying we are just not going to dedicate ourselves to running the football. And as a Bears fan, watching the action yesterday, it was frustrating. And I know in the game, the second game today, Seahawks and Packers, the key to this game, you have two great quarterbacks. Both of them on the trajectory of Hall of Fame because Russell Wilson, if he continues on playing the way he is, which I think right now he's the best quarterback in the National Football League. I get it. He's not going to win the MVP, but that dude is amazing, and what he does for that team is special. And Aaron Rodgers has been great his entire career. The key to the game today is whoever runs the ball better. They're going to win the football game, whether it be Aaron Jones and the Packers or the Seahawks. If they dedicate themselves to running the football and controlling the pace and everything that goes into that, I think that team is going to win today. That's going to be the key of the day. And then once again, we're going to be sitting here looking at our team, the Chicago Bears, saying, man, if only we could have run the football a little bit more, maybe we beat the Raiders. Maybe we do that. Maybe we beat the Chargers or the Saints, and that's how we get to the playoffs, and that's how we get to this situation.
If you look at the teams remaining in the playoffs, Chris, there are only two teams that had a better defense than the Bears. They had the 49ers and the Ravens, who are no longer left in the playoffs. The 49ers have the fourth best defense, according to DVOA. Kansas City has the ninth best defense, according to DVOA. The Bears finished the season at eighth in defensive DVOA. The Packers 16th, Seattle 19th, the Titans 17th, Kansas City 9th, like I mentioned, and the Texans have the 27th ranked defense, according to DVOA. Now, they can run the ball all they want to. You know, and if the Bears wanted to, they could. I don't know if they don't clearly need help on the offensive line, but it's up to Matt Nagy. They ran the ball so much in 2018, and for some reason got away from it. He said he knows how to run the ball. He said he knows they need to run the ball, but they didn't run the ball. If they were to run the ball more and take less, make Trubisky do less, this team could be in the playoffs. I don't know if they would have won last week, but they could still be alive. They would still be in the playoffs. You know, they beat the Vikings twice. You were good against the division. You had success against the division, except for Green Bay, but ultimately, there were a few other games go their way. If they control the clock a little more, if they are able to put away drives and run the ball and control the game a little more and take less, make Trubisky do less and put more on the running backs, this team could be playing this weekend. And that's why it was so frustrating watching games yesterday, because the way the Titans play, the way the 49ers play, that's stuff that the Bears can do. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't some MVP, didn't have an MVP type game. He wasn't out there like Tom Brady, you know, slinging it all over the place. He didn't look like Mahomes putting up 50 points yesterday. They ran the ball 30 times to end the game.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck here on ESPN 1000. Jim Lexa tweeted us at Chris Bleck and at Adam A. Abdallah. He writes, do you think Nagy said last night, sure, the Titans and 49ers won, but they didn't pass the ball?
You see, here's... He probably did.
He probably looked at it and said, look, they're not throwing it there. That's what we're supposed to do.
But you look, you always look, I believe you're a product of where you came from, right? You look at the Chiefs, and the last 3 years, they've been, in 2017, they were 23rd in attempts, in rushing attempts. They were 23rd again in 2018. And this year, they were 27th in rushing attempts. But you know what the Band-Aid is to cover that up? Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. We talked to Joshua Briscoe from Kansas City last hour, and he said they're better when they throw the ball more. That's fine. If that's your recipe for success, Andy Reid knows that's their recipe for success. That doesn't mean it's the Bears' recipe for success. You have to have a coach that's willing to adjust the game plan for his talent. His talent can't throw. His talent isn't a good quarterback. He doesn't have one. So why don't you take pressure off him? I know you said you already scaled the playbook down. Why don't you take pressure off him during the game and run the ball a little more? Because you could be in the playoffs if you did.
Let me ask you this question. When you're looking ahead at the two games today, we have four quarterbacks who are elite. There are four elite quarterbacks playing today. Mm-hmm. Watson, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
How would you rank those four guys? Because I am interested in both matchups, obviously Texans Chiefs, because that's the future of the league. But I really am interested in seeing how Russell Wilson does today and how Aaron Rodgers in this spot. I feel like today is a huge moment for Aaron Rodgers' career.
Yeah.
If the Packers lose again at home after a bye, after the new coach is hired, 13-3 season, which everyone's poo-pooing, and everyone says, oh, well, it's not impressive. It's the least impressive 13-3 team you've ever seen. Well, guess what? It's football.
They're 13-3.
And the key to football is winning. And a lot of the times, if you win ugly, you still win, right? Like, that's how it works. Yeah. If you win ugly, it's in the phrase. Winning ugly still gets you a win.
Still winning.
I think today is a very big day and an important day when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and what we talk about with him and his legacy, because now it seems like the coach is there supporting him. Everything's in his favor. They're at home. Seahawks, a team that they should beat. I'm interested in the foursome of quarterbacks we're going to watch today.
So am I ranking the quarterbacks specifically or their offenses that they're going to have out there today? So quarterbacks specifically, I'd probably put Watson fourth, then, oh, man.
I mean, there are four really good quarterbacks.
See, that's why, okay. Because they're, it's basically one, they're all tied for one, and then Watson is just like the smallest step down. But if we're talking about offenses specifically, I go Watson, I'm going to go actually Russell Wilson probably last because he's got injured offensive linemen. They're struggling with injuries to their running backs. I just don't know if he's going to have the health and weapons out there that he's used to be successful. So I put him fourth, and then I'm going to put Watson in the Texans, and then I'm going to put Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, and then Mahomes and the Chiefs first. That's how I would go with it. But I'm only putting Wilson last because of the limitations he's going to have at offensive line and running back and all their skill positions. It's basically him and DK Metcalf out there. And, like, that's it. That's all he's got out there healthy. So that's going to be a big problem for him and why I think they could struggle. They're going to have to run the ball a lot, but I just don't know if they've got the health on the offensive line to do so.
And with that idea with Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf and what they have offensively, that's why I would put Russell Wilson 1. I would rank it Wilson 1, Mahomes 2, Rodgers 3, Watson 4.
Okay.
But you're right. When you kind of have to look at it, I kind of feel like today will tip the scale in the conversation around Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well today and the Packers lose, you might start to see people point at Aaron Rodgers is no longer that top, very top tier of elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Still good enough to win, still good enough to get your team to the playoffs and be in contention for a Super Bowl. But if he doesn't play well today, don't you think people are going to start kind of taking a step back? Kind of the same way with Brady. You know, Brady's still an elite quarterback, but we don't look at Brady as the top three or four quarterbacks anymore after what we saw in this last season. I feel like the same thing could happen with Aaron Rodgers today.
But he hasn't really been, he's been playing
very efficient.
He's been efficient is the word. He's been playing well.
Yeah, because you're looking at the touchdown interception ratio, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions this year, which is great.
That's incredible.
He's taking his time, and if he doesn't see it, he's throwing away. But they're relying a lot more on Aaron Jones finally. They're running the ball a lot more. I mean, Aaron Jones has had 236 attempts this season, over 1,000 yards. He's got 16 touchdowns, only 2 fumbles. They're running the ball a lot more, and so they're taking pressure off of Aaron Rodgers, and he's being very meticulous and surgical and only throwing the ball when he needs to. So I think they can win and he can still not have a great game. I don't think he needs to be, you know, this great Aaron Rodgers that we've seen before where he's throwing, you know, Hail Marys and 4 touchdowns. I don't think they need him to be that guy this season. They may need it, you know, in the NFC Championship game. They may need it in the Super Bowl should they get there. But I don't think today, I don't think they're going to need it because of how banged up the Seahawks are.
We continue talking Seahawks and Packers with Doug Russell from ESPN Milwaukee. Next,
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I don't want to be somebody
without your body close to me. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We're talking football with you at 312-332-3776. The late game today, Seahawks and Packers. I think today could say a lot about the legacy of Aaron Rodgers. If he plays well, we assume he's great, right? One of the all-time great quarterbacks in NFL history. But I think it could be a problem if the Packers lose at home. Things could get tight if this is a close game late at Lambeau after the bye, 13-3 season. Things could get interesting today.
Well, we'll ask Doug Russell, who's joining us now from ESPN Milwaukee. And Doug, my question for you is, if the Packers do lose today, are people going to say, well, Aaron Rodgers is maybe kind of losing a step, or is this going to be a first-year head coach working with the quarterback, kind of jitters, working this kind of stuff out in a playoff game?
I guess it's going to depend, fellas, on exactly how Aaron Rodgers performs today. I mean, he could go out and throw for 350 yards. He could have a 63% completion ratio. And I think that the first argument that you make there, Adam, is probably not going to be fair. But, you know, this is the first time the Packers have also been in the playoffs in 3 years as well. So I think what Matt LaFleur has done this year as a first-year head coach in the NFL is pretty remarkable. They say that good teams win the close games. The Packers have won a ton of close games this year. It's been really remarkable to watch. I don't think they're the best team in the NFL. I thought the Ravens were the best team in the NFL. We saw how that happened last night. So I think the NFC and the AFC right now are really, really wide open. I do think the Packers have one intangible that the Seahawks don't today, and that's health. The Packers have been remarkably healthy throughout the entire season. Devontae Adams missed four games with a turf toe, but beyond that, this has been a really, really healthy team. So I guess we'll have to see what the narrative of this game is going to be. Wait to see how the game plays out.
Doug Russell from ESPN Milwaukee. You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Russell, talking with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. All the talk in the offseason about the Packers was implementing draft picks and free agency signings on the defensive side of the ball. Are you surprised at how good the defense has been throughout this season for the Packers?
A little bit, yeah, because you brought in Preston Smith and you brought in Za'Darius Smith, Brian Gutekunst, the Packers general manager, did. And it's not something that Packers fans were used to, right? After so many years of Ted Thompson really just kind of sitting back and waiting for his draft picks to mature, it was really, I think, refreshing that the linebacking core was completely remade in the offseason, and we saw exactly what Preston and Zip. They're not brothers. They call themselves the Smith brothers, but they're not related in any way, shape, or form, at least as far as anybody knows. But it's amazing to see how the Smith brothers really remade the defense, the attitude of the defense, the locker room. They've never been teammates before. Apparently they knew each other from when they were back in college. Neither one of them were college teammates, but they both played in the SEC. Maybe that's the connection that the two of them have. But I've never in my years of doing sports media have seen two teammates every single time they have a media availability. It's the two of them together playing off of each other. If you interview one, you interview both of them. It's the strangest dynamic, but it works for this locker room. The entire attitude of the team kind of changed with those two guys. And then you bring in Adrian Amos, who you guys really know well from his days in Chicago. He made that pick on opening night at Soldier Field, but he's been consistent and a veteran presence throughout the entire season for the Packers this year. The defense has really been what has carried this team. The offense has had just enough, but at times the defense has had to hang on for dear life. They've really done a good job doing that, of bending but don't breaking. They'll give up a lot of yards, but they'll also keep teams out of the end zone, and that's one of the big reasons that they're 13-3.
One of the themes of Packers Twitter, and I'm sure you hear it from fans on the show as well, is free Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, the last two games of the season, got over 20 carries in each game, 23 against the Vikings and 25 against the Lions. What has led to more Aaron Jones production and Matt LaFleur finally giving him the ball so many times a game?
Three losses, the Eagles, Chargers, and 49ers. He was a complete non-factor in all of those games. And one of the things that I like about Matt LaFleur is that he's a really introspective guy. We didn't really know Matt LaFleur very well, and I don't think anybody in the NFL outside of those that had known him as a coach, specifically like Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, guys that have, you know, been in the trenches with him. But he really looks inward after poor performances. The Eagles game was kind of a weird game. It was early in the season. We didn't know how good Philadelphia was going to be. We didn't know how good Green Bay was going to be. But by the time the Packers got to Los Angeles in November to play the Chargers, you figure that, well, the way this season is going for both of these teams, it's been maybe the Packers overachieving, the Chargers underachieving, the Packers winning close games, the Chargers losing close games. The Chargers blew the Packers out, and Matt LaFleur, I think, got a little jittery, got a little panicky, and started winging the ball all over the field. And the Packers wound up losing that game and losing it pretty handily. Fast forward a couple of weeks after that, right after the bye week, they played at San Francisco, and they just got blown out on Sunday Night Football. And once again, the Packers abandoned the run early. And that's one of the things that when you look at the next day, what went wrong, one of the things that Matt LaFleur kind of looked in on himself and said, I think we abandoned the run too early, and that's one of the big reasons that Aaron Jones has been getting more carries in subsequent weeks.
Doug Russell from ESPN Milwaukee talking with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. If this game is close late in the game, who do you favor to actually win? If it's a one-possession score late in the fourth quarter, who would you like in that situation, the Seahawks or the Packers?
Honestly, I like the Packers because if you look at the way that they have been hanging on and winning games. I mean, you remember that second game against the Bears, of course, that crazy play right at the end. Yeah, the game ended on the two-yard line, but the Packers won that ball game. They had to have a goal line stand against Christian McCaffrey and the Carolina Panthers in order to win that game, and they did that. They needed to recover an onside kick against the Redskins, and they did that. They've beaten the Lions twice this year, so they're 2-0 against Detroit. The Packers cumulatively led for exactly 0 seconds in both of those games combined. Last-second field goals have won those two games for the Packers this year after they had been either tied at zero or losing the entire game. For whatever reason, and it's been a strange year, and I've never seen this before, but the Packers have been able to win those close games down the stretch. I think that's what separates, you know, a 13-3 team from maybe an 8-8 team. And for whatever reason, that's really worked out well for Green Bay this year.
Aaron Rodgers has been a lot more efficient this year with his passing. We know the touchdown to interception ratio. He's also the oldest quarterback left in the playoffs now that, you know, Brady and Drew Brees are out. Has he talked at all about being the oldest guy in the room now that both those guys were eliminated last week?
He's talked about being the oldest guy kind of in the room at Lambeau. He's been talking about, you know, he's made the turn. And I think that using that golf analogy, I'm like, Aaron, I mean, you know, this is 15? You're not going to play 30 years in the NFL. You've made the turn a long time ago. So he understands what his legacy is. He understands that if he really wants to solidify it and get to that second Super Bowl, that, man, you know what, the window is closing. And he won his first Super Bowl, the only Super Bowl that he had ever gone to, when he was 27 years old. And I think Packers fans had kind of figured, well, they've got this. I mean, you got a 27-year-old quarterback in his prime. He's going to win MVPs. He's going to win Super Bowls. This is going to be this golden era of Packers football, and it just hasn't happened yet. And, you know, one of the reasons that I think the Packers have struggled is the fact that they've always been playing 4 or 3 years down the road with Ted Thompson as the general manager. Now with Brian Gutekunst as the GM, the moves that I was talking about earlier have kind of forced the issue to the front of the page. He hasn't talked about specifically Brady and Brees being out and being the oldest quarterback left in the playoffs. He has talked about he does see kind of what the end looks like. And I think that's giving him a little bit more internal pressure right now than in years past.
Doug Russell from ESPN Milwaukee for a couple more minutes with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If we go back to November 24th, I believe it was a primetime game at San Francisco. The Packers lose 37-8. That was probably the worst game they played the entire season going west. If the Packers win today, they will be going west once again to face off against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. How do you think, based on what you saw in that last contest, and if they have to face the 49ers next week, how do you think they would fare from that?
Based on the last game? Not well. They weren't competitive. You're right. It was the worst game that they played all season long. And, you know, if you're a Packers fan, you hope that they can take that tape and learn from it as opposed to taking that tape and just burning it. I've always thought that you can learn more from a loss than you can a win. If that's true, you can learn a ton from that game because they did absolutely nothing right at all in that game. And look, Matt LaFleur was outcoached by Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator. Fun fact, they used to be roommates in Michigan. So it's a coaching staff that knows each other really, really well. And it's not just Kyle Shanahan. As I mentioned, it's Robert Saleh as well. It's Mike LaFleur, Matt's brother, who's on Shanahan's staff in San Francisco. The connections are just deep and strange. And the 49ers got the best of LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, in every way, shape, and form. And I know beyond just it being the NFC Championship game, I know Matt LaFleur would love a crack at it again. But he's going to have to get past Seattle later on today in order to get there. But based on the last game, whew, that was a long night for the Packers.
So who wins today and why?
I think the Packers win because they're healthier. I think the Packers win because they're at home. And the home team has done well in this series between these two teams. And honestly, right now, it goes back to health and the fact that the Seahawks haven't been playing great football in the last month of the season. They got past the worst team in the playoffs, in my estimation, in Philadelphia. It was 17-9, the final score. Their defense has been giving up a lot of points, and they lost 3 out of 4 going into the playoffs. And granted, one was a heartbreaker against San Francisco, but they also lost at home to Arizona and really got, you know, handled by a Cardinals team that's improving but really still poor on defense. I think the Packers win today just based on those things. Not to discount the Seahawks. I think they're a good football team. I just think the Packers are healthier, and they've got a little bit more going for them right now.
And, Doug, I'll ask you the same question you usually ask me when I join your show. The Seahawks will fill in the blank for me. The Seahawks will win if?
If Russell Wilson is Superman and can cover up all of the other ills on the Seahawks because of all of their injuries. Now, here's the thing, though, Adam. Russell Wilson is capable of doing that. And if he does do everything that he can do, making the crazy throws, running for between 50 and 70 yards, which he's capable of doing, he's going to need to do that if the Seahawks are going to win this game. It can be done. This is going to be a tough game, I think, for the Packers, but it is one game that I think the Green Bay is going to win unless Russell Wilson does everything. But again, that's what he's capable of because we've seen it before.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Chris.
Doug Russell from ESPN Milwaukee. You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Russell. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. You know, it's great quarterback matchups. That's what today is about. Watson Mahomes, mm-hmm. Wilson Rodgers, and I'm excited to watch this.
Yeah, and I hope I don't have to hate watch it like I was watching yesterday, getting more and more upset that the Bears could be in this position.
Well, listen, when you have four of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League going against each other, there is the strong possibility for the hate watch here in Chicago, not only because you have the Packers, most of us dislike the Packers strongly, but also the fact that they've had the luck of quarterbacks throughout their history, which we have yet to have. And then you go to the early game, and and also Russell Wilson. He's just magical, right? Like what he does, and Doug said it, if he plays like the MVP candidate that he is, or like Superman, like that team is a different team, and they also probably have the coaching advantage in this contest too.
If you could set the prop bet for me as to when we see the draft graphic for Mahomes and Watson, when would you say it comes?
That is a good question. Let's
I don't
say,
get a ding for
no,
that. One.
No. This is not
it's not an interview.
Scripted interview.
Yeah.
No. Let's see. I'm going to say early third quarter.
Early? All that way?
Well, if it's a good game, why would it come up before then?
I think it would be earlier because you're comparing the two quarterbacks. They were drafted in the same class.
Well, they'll throw up on the screen the two quarterbacks. Why does Mitch need to be there?
No, he'll just
standing in the background doing a photo
like
bomb.
He'll just be like in the corner.
Why is he photobombing
He'll just
this?
Be in the corner.
In the sad corner
Here's Watson since he was drafted. Here's Mahomes since he was drafted. And like Trubisky's just like in the bottom on the corner.
Why is he even at the party if he's not gonna party?
He's creeping through. He's looking through the back door at the media.
Why is he there? He doesn't need to be there.
He was invited.
Don't be there.
He was there. He was invited.
No. Will Chris Bryant be traded? We hear from Jeff Passan next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Blacken Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Fred Huebner coming up in 10 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing the show today. Thank you to Joshua Briscoe and Doug Russell for joining the show. You can listen to the podcast of the show. Search Blacken Abdallah on the TuneIn app, Spotify, or iTunes, or you can find them all on ESPNChicagoPodcast.com. Abdallah, it seems to me as if Chris Bryant will be traded. If all the talk about the Cubs third baseman, the star third baseman, it seems like everything's pointing to that he will not be with the Chicago Cubs when we get to opening day, just based on listening to all the experts talk. It seems like the Cubs are dead set on moving him and getting back pieces to try and reinvigorate and readjust this roster on the fly.
I think that it's headed that way because it's hard just as an organization and to have a relationship with the player, right? If it's known out there in reports that you're trying to trade a guy, to then like come back and be like, nah, we're still good, right?
Yeah, right. Like if you're out there shopping,
yeah. It's like if your girlfriend finds like your Tinder app and she saw that like you were swiping yesterday and you're like, well, I mean, I was
bored.
I was just, you know, I mean, just we're there. I'm just looking and seeing what I can't look.
So on Friday night, Jeff Passan was on SportsCenter, and he talked about Chris Bryant. He's unlikely to win his service time grievance. Here's Jeff Passan.
They're not great. You know, in cases of service time, players forever have been trying to win things like this and just have not been able to do it. Arbitrators typically look at this as it's a set of rules, and unless you present an extraordinarily compelling case, we're going to follow those set of rules. Now, maybe Chris Bryant's camp did present that extraordinarily compelling case. We're going to know within the next 2 weeks, but throughout the sport, the expectation is that the Cubs are going to get that extra year of service, and he's not going to be a free agent until after the 2021 season.
Jeff Passan also went on to talk about Chris Bryant and whether or not Chris Bryant will be a Cub on opening day for the Chicago Cubs.
It's a really good question because, listen, we're talking about a guy who was the MVP of the National League a couple years ago. It's not like someone who's coming off a really bad year. No, Chris Bryant was good last year, too. But there are teams out there that look at him and say, we believe he can still be that 40 home run hitting, 120 run driven in type of guy. And the Cubs clearly want to shake up what they have there in that clubhouse. They feel like it got stale last year. And Chris Bryant is in all likelihood the player who will bring the most in return. So if I'm going to answer that question, I would say as a trade target. And if you ask me, do I expect him to be in a Cubs uniform on opening day, the answer would be no.
So that's Jeff Passan. Yeah, on Friday night on SportsCenter, no is the answer. He doesn't expect Chris Bryant to be with the Cubs come opening day.
I would think that once you find out that he isn't going to win this case and the Cubs are going to retain control of him, then that opens up everything. Because you're not going to get a lot back if he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
But
right?
It's so unlikely that he's going to be.
Well,
now,
yeah.
I get you,
but
you can't play with fire and then
no.
A team wouldn't trade for him and then all of a sudden find out the grievance goes in Chris Bryant's favor. And now, you know, like, I understand why he isn't moved at this moment, but it seems like when that gets cleared up, hopefully this week, everything will be fine. And then the Cubs can actually make a move this offseason.
I think that they will. And I think that once you get it solidified, because like you said, teams don't want to play with fire. It's the unknown. Now, there's a slim chance that Chris Bryant actually wins this argument or wins this case. But this is just like official. This just sets it. Hey, you're going to be here through 2021. Now we can get a lot more.
I had a cheese incident yesterday, Abdallah. I was going to make a afternoon omelet. And I opened a new bag of shredded cheese.
Omelet.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a morning omelet, and I don't want to lie to you. I opened the new bag of shredded cheese, and I put it next to the sink, and I walked away. And as I walked away, I set it down sitting upright. The bag tipped over, and it was open, mm-hmm. and it poured all of the shredded cheese out into the sink, into the bottom of the sink. Let me ask you a question quickly. Would you put what you could back into the bag?
I think you can salvage the top cheese. Any cheese that didn't touch the sink is salvageable.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I grabbed and made sure it wasn't sink cheese, and I put it back into the bag.
Now, my question for you is,
yeah,
did you tell your wife?
I did.
Oh, I wouldn't have.
She yelled at me.
No, oh, come on. Save the cheese.
Fred Huebner next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.